Can we go somewhere real quick? Because
let's do it.
You mentioned Amazon, and I don't want anybody to breeze over that. You know, that's one of the companies I'm heavily invested in. Amazon and Affirm, that partnership, right? Where now you have a payment plan company partnering with the largest retail company. Well, will be by the next year the largest retail company in the world. What are your thoughts on that, guys?
Oh, baby.
Yeah.
Anybody? I'm not gonna say anything else. Like that movement of pay later or running credit applications to select people to be able to pay or finance later, tied into the stickiness of the algorithm that Amazon has, it'll probably, that alone may give them a 20 or 30% bump over in stock price over the next 24 to 38 months. Because even if it, let's say the worst case scenario, it drives 8% more sales. Once you guys do the homework, I know Pearson probably knows the answer. How much more revenue would that bring in Amazon if just that partnership brought in 8% more revenue per year? That would make a company's year.
Yeah.
That kind of growth. It's a great partnership, kind of like all us being on stage at InvestFest. I'm working on my segues.
Yeah, that was dope. Hey, the interesting part is that before at IPO, we had said affirm. We got on our watch list, put it on your watch list. And now to see them to part with Amazon, which we obviously love.
Crazy.
It's amazing. And hey, you know, the installment payments start so low. It's not like you have to have something that's $400. I think it starts if something's $50 or over, you can have it installment payments on it.
Yeah.
Amazon, I mean, they're different.
Now, and also you gotta ask yourself, this is what I love about it. So Amazon is literally like my favorite company next to Chipotle, yeah. But what happens is, what people fail to realize too is like Amazon Web Services, their breadwinner. So when you add the pay later to the retail part of it, mm-hmm. it's an easy grant.
Yeah, it's a game changer.
Yeah, that's easy. Like that now, like, man, that's sick. You know what I'm saying?
Especially on the electronic side and yeah.
People don't like to pay now, they want to pay later anyway. You just now put them in. You put them on a pay later with the people have also bought this. It's over with for you.
Also with the retail stores that they've also acquired. So now you'll be able to pay later, get it shipped to you in a couple hours, or go pick it up same day with, and if you have Prime, it'll be one click.
Nah, yeah. That's what we got to also look at as I want us to realize how the game is evolving. How every company is evolving technology, whether it's, I talked about software, I talked about, you know, chip plans, but just look at how software is evolving. Like, that's what we gotta look at. When we talk about fintech, that's another software. Like, we look at that. You don't gotta chase the next nothing. The things that are in front of us right now haven't peaked. They're still growing. There's so much growth in the companies that we're looking at right now. Like, you don't gotta go chase the next nothing. People like Amazon, people like Facebook, like no one has acquired more businesses than Facebook over the last 3 years. Nobody. You know what I'm saying? Like the companies that are right in our face are growing at a tremendous rate, yo. Like, go, like, look at that. Look at that.
Stay focused. Look.
You don't got to go try to chase the next nothing. The thing that we're looking at, right? Like, we're in that phase of the world where this is the first phase of that evolution. You know what I'm saying? This is the first, like, we're not deep into it. We're still at the grassroots part of that evolution, dog. Yeah,
this is like 99 in tech for fintech right now.
Exactly. Right there. You don't got to look for the next nothing. The new things are still, like, Amazon is just getting the ball rolling. You know what I'm saying? Like, they just getting it. PayPal just getting it. Square just getting it. These people are just getting the ball rolling. Yo. You don't got to go look for the next nothing, yo.
Yeah, same in the music industry. People are like, who's the new Drake? I'm like, Aubrey. There's no new.
Certified Lover Boy this
you
Friday.
You gotta put out Certified Lover Boy in. Enjoy.
Certified Lover Boy this Friday.
Please do not do it. Amazon $29.8307 is a good price. Red Panda family, if you up from the price that I gave you a couple months ago, put Red Panda in chat. And Ernest, I want y'all to kill this. $29.8307. Amazon. Them a lot of pregnant emojis he had on that album. You have to have your money back. Oh, did y'all make that many InvestFest babies? Let me know. Let's do a checkup report and see. Was y'all good or bad?
Yeah. Donda just came out yesterday. So I got both of them up today. I got Drake and I got Ye.
I see you.
Blessings to both our brothers. Yeah. Blessings to both our brothers.
Shout out to Drake. Kanye. Okay. So let's talk about this. 10% pullback in the market, is that something that, you know, you think could potentially come soon?
So,
hey Trap, before you start, I just want to I want everybody, because everybody on this in here right now, and us four for sure, we remember this time last year. We remember this time last year. I'll never forget it. It was like, yo, we was like, man, this is going great. And then August 30th through September 2nd happened, and it was a nightmare.
Scotty called me like, man, this ain't it.
I knew Tech was gonna pull it back. I'm like, bro.
Bro,
I was like, damn, Shotty, you put that energy out there.
Yeah.
Shotty was like, man, like, the crazy part is he had been saying that like 2 weeks. Trap. Yeah. You don't feel right.
Yeah.
I'm like, Shotty, be good, man. Like, if it happened, not Trap. She just don't feel
then
right.
Then I get the text, what you think about AMD? I'm like, bro, I promise you. I will fly out there and drop a check off if it don't work. Like, then, you got to just ride the storm.
Bottoms yeah. up. Shotty called me. I knew it, bro. I just knew it.
Yep.
You knew it.
Hey, we still had the text messages, and I was like, look, man, our seatbelts got to be on.
Mm-hmm.
So, shout out to Bam.
Woo!
That, he almost lost it, but we got him back. But it was interesting time. So, like, I'm more aware now of watching these things, because I feel like we fell asleep at the wheel a little bit. I'll be honest. We fell asleep at the wheel a little bit. We stopped watching the things, the indicators that would have told us that this was coming.
Yes.
Y'all can just text me, man. A crystal ball glowing. There's hella charged in Atlanta. I mean, a 10% pullback could come, but the thing I want to tell you guys right now, set your marker for everything that you like and put an alert when it does drop 10%, and that could be a potential buy area. This is the issue I always said about focusing on the Big Short more than Jesus Christ. I ain't going to say every shot. Right. I want you guys to focus on the pullbacks as opportunity and opposed to thinking about crashes as fear. Because look where the market went from September 2nd last year to now.
Mm-hmm.
And I said this at InvestFest. When most people are terrified when the market drops, I'm like, dear Heavenly Father of Nazareth, I appreciate you so much for this blessing you're about to bestow upon me.
Mm-hmm.
You have to learn when winter is coming that pretty soon you're going to be able to shine and things are going to spring and blossom. Everyone wants to invest at the apex of the summer. And when things cool down, you're like, damn, I messed up. Please stop buying at highs. And when these crashes happen, you have to be incredibly happy.
Yeah. I think, you know what it was? Obviously it was the pandemic. So we got a lot of new investors. And so that they had that ride going all the way up. And it was the first time that they experienced something like that.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people got nervous, they got apprehensive, a lot of fear crept in. But like you said, if you had stayed patient, and I think that's one of the biggest lessons that I've learned and had to learn, right? Even prior to this, but patience is the key. Yeah. Like fearlessness, patience is the key. Because if we had just stayed the course, stayed patient, stuck to the script, like you said, look where it's at from last September.
From right now.
To now.
Hey. Triple our network in the drop, right?
Sam, what a trap is that?
Triple our. We way it wet.
Shout out to my Red Panda family. And the thing is, too, when you're over leveraged in trades opposed to long term investing, you're going to get hurt a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
I know the long term investing thing is not sexy.
It ain't.
You know what happens when you invest long term? It's the same thing with Mayweather. Oh, he fights boring. He doesn't have any knockouts.
Going 50 to the bank every time.
Anyone who's invested in the things that I've told them to over the last couple years, you're like, what drop in September?
Mm-hmm.
I'm up 300%. That's why when I was like, yo, if I made y'all money go crazy, like, I can feel it in my chest. Like, I love y'all who were there in attendance. Like, you have to begin to look to put 90% of your money long term, 10% in the trades, and it's an equation that will work forever for you.
It's crazy you say that, because that's literally mine. It's 85-15.
See?
It's 85-15.
Yeah.
And but the dope part is, so his coming, so August and September are always the worst 2 months in the market.
Yep.
August and September are the worst 2 months. So if we know that, we understand what they probably didn't know. But if we know that, then you already like, okay, let me load the clip. Or that's what I'm not telling the traveler. Yeah. Clip loaded.
But you know? And I'll say, worse for who? People that invest in wrong. August is my birthday.
Right.
I'm like, this is a present for me.
Great cherry.
Yeah.
Great to put that on.
Yeah,
top.
And Trap, can you tell them why? Can you tell them why that September is the worst month, traditionally the worst month historically?
So they have a few things go on in September, whereas first I think that people still have, I think 9/11 also plays a part in that too. Let me say that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think that also
psychological thing, yeah.
Psychological thing too. But also you have a lot of things that expire in that moment. You have the last quarter is coming into the year.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You have a lot of regulations going on that turn around in that moment. So you have a few things that's going on in that moment that make retail fail, that make big institutions back up. Also, we got to look at rebalancing that's happening now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When rebalancing start to happen, when institutional rebalancing starting to happen, that's going to make the market swing heavy. Right. And so we look at that. We can look into something called the hedge fund VIP list. Right. So if you look at the hedge fund VIP list, it'll give you the top 50 most heavily invested stocks of that quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Goldman Sachs put it out every quarter. If you typically look at before September, those companies, those will be hit the hardest.
Mm-hmm.
Those will be hit the hardest. You could take that thing, do what you want to do with it. Right. If you can look at that hedge fund VIP list,
that's a hell of a gem.
You feel me? Them top 15, they're gonna be hit the hardest. Why? Because that's where the rebalancing comes from. Also, we gotta understand this. Like, if we look at the biggest companies that hedge funds are in, all they're gonna do is take their money, sit on the sideline, and then re-enter again.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they're going on. So while you're panicking, like you should be just doubling down. You can look at your 120-day moving average. You can look at that. That can be an indicator you use. That's going to give you 10% out the gate. If it gets below that, that's a time to lick. You can look at that 200-day. If it gets below that, you can really load the boat, right? Those are two things you can definitely look at on your journey, and those keep you from panicking, y'all.
Yeah. And you know what? Quadruple witching is also in September. So, like, right in the middle of the month, you got a lot of contracts expiring in the options market. So,
because if you have a quarter, like, you have two types of students, the ones who do their homework in the beginning of the school year and the ones who cram the last 3 weeks. Now, when I was getting on punishment, my dad was whooping me for not doing my homework early on. I was cramming at the end, right? So why would you want to buy in September when there's a fresh quarter?
Yep.
October, November, December. That's what the rebalancing is. I'm not going to add any positions, because by the time you get to that last month, you should be up already. If you're waiting to the fourth quarter and going to, like, well, I'm going to turn it on in playoff mode, you're going to get knocked out. Yep. That does not exist. Wait for October and use August and September to begin to put in some positions. And then October, you have the Christmas rally in December.
Yep.
January, boom.
Never
fail. Slide back in February. Bye. And then go look at the report to see what normally happens in terms of the Fed in March and why the market usually booms in March. You'll be good.
In every quiet winter, you're going to see that. So that third week of September, like, you can just be ready.
Mm-hmm.
And those 5 to 7 days after that, be ready. Like, those opportunities. The one thing we do know about the market is it's going to keep doing the same thing over and over. Like I said, that investor, re-rocking, right? It's going to keep doing the same things. What happens is when the new people get in the game, they've never seen the old things happen before.
Mm-hmm. Man, there it is.
Right? You feel what I'm saying? So the old people don't see it already. The OGs, we're sitting like, oh, it's that time again. It's just like me sitting back waiting for the first and 15, y'all. Like, I know it's
going. Yeah, and that's where experience comes in. And that's why I say mastering one move or two moves over and over again. And that's why I ask, like, you guys have to realize, even in the show and the theatrics that we do for entertainment, we're all conservative investors.
Thanks.
So if you master one or two moves, you can be, and I say this to everybody in Dream Team all the time, I beat a lot of people just by not being overactive. Some of you take too many trades where you're like, well, I did 28 option trades, but I got two shares of, I'm like, why? Well, I thought I was going to get 900% on all of them and never have to invest. I'm like, bro, if it was that easy, Elon, Mark Cuban, Nova, everybody would do that. It does not work. It does not work. And despite the work you see everybody here put in, and everyone moving around, you got to remember, he's still an advisor. There's a reason that hedge funds don't go so heavy in one asset class and they balance things out. But your edge is going to be the few trades that you take and the few companies that you invest in, and let the program work for you. Don't try and reinvent the wheel when the wheels are already excellent as is.
My graduates from my school being Forbes,
backdrop.
Backdrop. A mic drop. Backdrop.
Backdrop.